Everyone has their own unique views and needs when it comes to financial success. If you'd like to leave your financial woes behind and live a life of financial freedom, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. The show will help you with the ins and outs of money. We talk about financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars and keeping you up at night. We talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, 401ks, risk management, retirement, and everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Now, here is your host of Saving with Steve, Steve Sexton.
Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show. My name is Steve Sexton. You know what? This is where we talk about the ins and outs of money, pretty much everything under the sun that it relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Today, we have the Chief Executive Officer of Kinetic Financial, Ali Hashemian. In this COVID world, or in the last 10 years, 20 years, there's half of the United States that have something in common with people like Princess Di, Prince, John Wayne the Axer, a Supreme Court Justice, Chief Warren Burger, James Brown, actor Sonny Bono is part of Sonny and Cher, and we're going to be talking about it, and it's estate planning. Ali's going to talk about, hey, what is it? How do you put it together? What does it do for you? We're going to get into how you can protect yourself from things like civil liability, divorces, creditors, all those type of things, how to reduce and eliminate taxes, and much, much more. Our viewers have emailed in and said, Steve, I'm really worried about this economy. How do I learn about protecting my assets? We're going to talk about that. On top of that, we're going to be talking about the most recent fraud warning from the FBI, the Health and Human Services Department, as well as the Center for Medicare and Medicaid, in reference to the COVID-19 vaccination. And because of that, and the number of people who want to hear this again, we have Iran Sinai, the CEO of IDSEAL. It's all about identity protection. He's going to talk to the A's and Z's. What is it? How does it happen? What you can do about it? How to select an identity protection program for yourself? With that, we have a wonderful show, and I'd like to introduce you to our very first guest, Ali Hashemian. Ali, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
I appreciate you being there. I mean, I'd just like to share one thing, and it's more of my story, and a lot of people don't realize this, that even people like Princess Diana, she wrote a letter to ensure that her 17 godchildren received 25% of her estate. And that would be about $160,000 each, which would have been wonderful. Problem is, it wasn't in a will or trust, and the lawyers had it thrown out, so her wishes couldn't be revealed. And on the other end, you have somebody like Michael Jackson, who designated his mom, his 80-year-old mom, to be the guardian and financial guardian for his two children. Now, most people wouldn't pick that. If the court was to decide, they wouldn't decide on her because of her age, but because it was in the documents, it's occurring. Now, we have other people like John Wayne, who spent 21 years in probate. His estate was worth over $5 million in 1979 when he passed away, and it was only worth a fraction of that when his estate was actually resolved. So we have some crazy things there. But my situation, 15 years ago, I had a bout of cancer. I had a tumor that blocked up my colon. There's 13 liters of fluid there. And according to the doctor, if I was 4 or 5 hours later, I would have passed away from renal failure, or the cancer would have grown fast enough, whereas the stage four in there wasn't much they can do for me. And I was really lucky, but the reality of I walked out on life, quite frankly, I would have left my wife and kids with a mess. We didn't have an estate plan then. It was nuts. And then when I was in chemo, there's this one couple, his last oncologist, because they had been going through treatments for years. And when I saw they showed me their will and trust, I realized that it hadn't even been notarized. They hadn't even put anything in the trust. And, you know, we talked to the attorney. The attorney went, oh, my. He got he had the notary there to put the trust in force, the house in the trust. His nephew put all the assets in the trust. He passed away 3 weeks later. And you know what? That hadn't occurred. She would have been left with a mess. What you don't know is she had two kids that were estranged that would have fought over everything. And this came from a lady who had her husband take care of all the finances her whole life. And the only reason why he didn't go through it with her is because of the surgeries and the medications made his brain too cloudy. So with that, I think what you're going to educate us about today, Ali, is just so very, very important. So, you know, let's just start talking about what estate plan is.
Yeah. And estate planning, again, is something that is a little bit complicated. And that's why I think people procrastinate and don't get around to doing it. It's also, you know, reminding of us of our mortality. So that's never a fun thing for us to have to think about either. But it is, like you said, so important on so many levels. Right now, not so much because of the estate taxes that a person would pay, because the estate tax exemption is over $11 million per person. So we're talking about over $20 million of assets that you have to have in your estate before estate taxes are applied. However, probate is the big issue, like you were talking about. This stuff can get tied in probate, and probate is not only an expensive procedure, but it's also a public procedure. So everybody can come out of the woodwork looking for your money. And so that's why this estate planning thing is really, really important. There are four main things that you need to have a comprehensive or proper estate plan. The first thing that you need to make sure that you have is a trust. You need to make sure that everything is actually put into the trust, like Steve said. If you have a trust and it's not executed or funded, it doesn't do you much good. The second thing that you need is a pour-over will. That pour-over will basically will put everything that's not in the trust into the trust upon your passing. So you bought a nice new car or a $100,000 diamond necklace and you didn't put that stuff into the trust, it's okay. Your pour-over will should take care of that as long as it's properly worded. You need an advanced healthcare directive, because trust me, you don't want the courts to make healthcare decisions for you. And the last thing that you're going to need is a power of attorney, because trust me, you don't want the courts to make financial decisions for you. If you have these four things, you should be pretty well situated. Although there are a lot of different types of trusts that you may want to consider using, including charitable or irrevocable trusts, and there's a lot of different titles and contracts and corporations. I think in our next segment, Steve, we're going to talk a little bit about liability protection and things like that. So we'll talk a little bit about more about corporations. But those four things are the basic simple things you need for a proper personal estate plan.
Let's talk about, you first of all, talked about having the appropriate trust. Okay. So if somebody doesn't have a trust and they pass away, their estate goes into probate. So my understanding, and I'm making this very simple, what probate is your estate files a lawsuit against itself and the estate funds it. And then you have the court determine, or the state of California determine, who gets your stuff.
Basically. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. And you know what? It was really interesting because I was doing some research for this. There's a term that was coined during the Howard Hughes probate, which lasted 30 years. And it was called hillbilly relatives. Okay. Because his $2.5 billion after all the legal costs of almost 30 years went to 22 cousins. And, you know, I'll say this, you know, even, you know, it's still about $80, $90 million each, and that's a heck of a lot of money. But the wild thing is he just had a trust. A trust doesn't avoid probate. And, you know, it was very interesting. And even on top of that, you have something like John Wayne. I mean, he died in 1979 of stomach cancer, and because of all the fighting with he had a trust, but it wasn't done properly. And the probate went on all the way to 2001, and that $5, $6 million estate was just barely a fraction of that, and it was just crazy.
Because, again, probate can be very expensive. The other thing is, again, it's just getting money to the right people when they need it most. So the more recent story that you were mentioning is Prince, right? We know his estate was worth millions upon millions of dollars, but I think it was George Lopez that had to loan his family $20,000 for the funeral services. So these are things that can be avoided if you do it ahead of time and you do it the right way.
Yeah, you know what? I was researching Sonny Bono. I mean, here you got an entertainer, congressman. He was the mayor of Palm Springs. He was a businessman. And basically, when he passed away, since he didn't have any will or trust, his heirs, or the people who ran his business, couldn't make any decisions, and they had to go to court before they can do anything, which is crazy. And really what that means is somebody needs to have, one, a properly structured trust. Okay. Two, like you said, it has to be properly funded. What does it mean by funding? So for example, if somebody has a brokerage account, they would put that in the trust. They would put in their house or their houses. If they have a business, the shares of their business would go into the trust. Okay. What does not go into a trust, Ollie?
Retirement accounts. Retirement accounts customarily do not go in the trust. And most often you want to designate the beneficiary of those accounts as human beneficiaries. So that is one thing that commonly is left out of the trust. Although sometimes the beneficiary is designated to the trust so that the trust can decide what happens to that money. But there are some tax laws surrounding retirement accounts. I think that's a whole different bag of worms that we can tackle in a future episode. Mm-hmm. But most often, we are not putting the retirement accounts inside the trust.
Now, the power of attorney over financial. My understanding, and I'm going to do this real quickly because we have about 35 seconds for the break, is this allows somebody to make financial decisions, pay your taxes, pay your bills, all that, if you're not able to.
That's correct. Pull money out of accounts if they need to. Lots of different financial decisions that they can make with that document.
Perfect. I'm going to hold you right there. We're going to take a quick little break. Got to pay some bills here. And you folks, we're going to be right back. This is a great discussion.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, I want to welcome you back to the Saving with Steve Show. I truly thank you for tuning in. I appreciate you letting your friends, family, and associates know about the show. All the replays are available on www.savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying the stories of helpful information and insight on Saving with Steve, then I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel so you never miss a show. And check out a few of our affiliates like UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, E360 TV, Las Vegas TV Network. All these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirit, and live a life of financial and personal freedom. Now, Ali, again, I want to thank you for being here. I want to talk a little bit about the next phase in reference to like taxation. We were talking a little bit about taxation. So, for example, I've come across people at times that had put their trust as the beneficiary for their retirement account, that IRA or that 401k, okay? And correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding is a 401k and IRA is essentially a trust already because they have the beneficiaries there. And when a trust pays out to a trust, isn't there trust taxes to be paid?
Not trust taxes necessarily. The biggest issue that you have when you name the beneficiary of the trust is your stretch options. So under the new SECURE Act, we lost the full stretch, but we still have a 10-year stretch option. Many are concerned that if a beneficiary is designated as a trust, they don't get that 10-year option. Then they're stuck to a 5-year option. And again, if you have large retirement accounts, being able to split it up over 10 years versus 5 years can make a big, big difference from a taxation standpoint to your heirs. So that's the main issue with taxation. Remember, retirement accounts for the most part are fully income taxable. So no matter how the heir gets the money, it's going to hit their income taxes one way or another. So, and usually as long as the heir of the account is a the heir of the trust, the beneficiary of the trust is a human, they will be able to pass through that income to their income tax rates. But again, it depends on how all of this is structured. This is why it gets so complicated and why it's so important to work with not just the right attorney to structure the trust, but the right financial professionals that can actually, again, fund the trust and put the right things into the trust and keep the wrong things out of the trust.
I agree with that. You know what? I call them trust funding coaches. That's why you need the proper financial advisor who understands how to be a trust funding coach to make sure the proper things go in there, can make sure they get in there, and make sure with they're handling some new investment that it gets put in the right place.
That's right. And, you know, again, it can, all of this stuff is kind of interconnected. Your investments, your real estate, your taxes, your insurance, your retirement plans, and last but not least, your estate plan. All of these things kind of work together, right? So, mm-hmm. and they have strings that connect them. And so important to work with somebody that really can help you holistically across all of these different boundaries.
Because if one's out of place, it affects the other one. So
that's
you
right.
don't want that. Yeah,
that's right. Like today we've been talking about estate planning, but how many times have we brought up the terms about retirement accounts or investment accounts or real estate or taxes? Again, almost all of those different areas of financial, we've already talked about in just the short time that we were supposed to be talking about estate planning, because again, it's all interconnected.
So let's talk about the next piece, which is protecting somebody from lawsuits, lawsuits, divorces, creditors, things like that. How can people structure things? Obviously, you know, we're going to talk about things in general. We're not giving any advice here. But how can people go about doing something like that? Because, you know, California, what divorce rate's like 55%.
Right. One of the big things that we see are people, especially in California, that own real estate. They need to protect against lawsuits there because they have renters, obviously. Mm-hmm. The easiest way is using an umbrella policy, but sometimes that you can't get enough coverage to cover what you need, especially because real estate prices are so expensive here in California. So one of the things that we see is the use of corporations. There are some tax benefits, but definitely some liability protection as well by holding real estate in limited liability companies or family limited partnerships or other corporate structures like that. So that's one thing that we've seen. And then the other thing that we've seen is just, again, the proper use of the trust so that when the beneficiary inherits the money, that it is not commingled and therefore not part of the marital property. Again, inheritance is not subject to divorce, but it oftentimes does get commingled and then it becomes very, very difficult for us to separate it out. But if the trust is properly structured and they have it separated well, then it's never commingled and again, will never be subject to divorce. I will say I've ran into a scenario once a while back where the gentleman that I was speaking to unfortunately came to us too late. His father had already passed away. He had just inherited $2 million from his father, went through a divorce about a week and a half later, half of that money was gone just like that. So, that's why this is so important for us to really pay attention to the estate planning part of it, because they call him Uncle Sam because he makes himself your relative right at the wrong time. So
that's a good way to put it. And you know what? I've actually experienced similar stories before. About 8-10 years ago, one of my clients had a similar situation where he didn't think he had a rocky marriage, but once he received the proceeds from grandma, grandpa, basically he got a divorce and you know what? Half of it was gone.
Yeah. Nobody wants to think about that when they're in their glory days. But again, part of estate planning is planning for the worst and hoping for the best, right? I hope that my clients don't have to go through a divorce. I hope my clients don't have to go through a lawsuit. I hope everything is great, smooth sailing, but I want to create the plans and the contingencies in case those things do happen.
You know, I agree. Plan for the worst and hope for the best. So let's start talking about how you can use estate planning or split planning or its trust structures to reduce taxes annually or on the sale of highly appreciated assets, things like that.
Charitable trusts are one of the most underutilized tools, but very, very powerful from a tax standpoint. Not only can you gift items into those charitable trusts and get an upfront tax deduction for the future value of the gift that is being made, but you also can sell assets within that trust without having to pay taxes there. So again, we see this oftentimes with clients that have highly appreciated real estate or highly appreciated business assets or highly appreciated stocks, for example, mm-hmm. that they want to diversify. They want to liquidate those positions, but unfortunately they can't due to the capital gains taxes that they would pay. And so using a charitable trust can not only help you not pay those upfront capital gains, but also give you an upfront tax deduction. So it's kind of a win-win situation. You still get to get income from it. You still get to manage the asset, and the charity doesn't get anything until you pass away. So it's a great tool. It has a, you win, the charity wins. So the only person that doesn't win in this situation is Uncle Sam, but he's not my client, so I'm not too worried about it.
And by the way, there's no obligation for people to pay more than their fair share of taxes. And there's no, you know what, there's, what's it? I remember Judge Leonard Hand said, you know what, there's no reason why you can't take steps to reduce and eliminate taxes, because there's no law that says you have to pay your full fair share. Or there's no law that says you can't reduce your taxes.
That's right. I always say tax evasion is a crime that you can go to jail for, but tax avoidance, it's your right as a taxpayer here in the United States of America. So educate yourself and make sure that you know all of the different strategies, especially right now, because we are in an artificially low tax environment. And we know without any question that the tax laws sunset in 2026. And under our current administration, those changes could happen a lot sooner. So take advantage of what you, what's right in front of you and these low tax rates while you still can.
Okay, Ollie, could you provide either an informational email or phone number that people can call if they have questions or information?
Absolutely. You can always reach us at 800-711-4818. You can also email us. Our email address is info@kineticfinancial.com. And our website is www.kinetic.com. And we look forward to talking to any of you that need help, not just with this estate planning, but any tax planning, retirement planning, investment planning, or insurance needs you may have.
Ollie, I want to thank you for joining us. I hope you have a wonderful 2021 and it's prosperous, rewarding, and healthy.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
We'll see you.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hello, welcome back to the show. This is Steve Sexton with Saving with Steve. That was Ollie Hamishian. He talked about all the different things that people need to have if they're going to have a proper estate plan. And the thing I want to impress you is this. You know what? You don't have to have a lot of assets to create a mess for the ones you love if, you know what, you walk out on life. I have the saying, and I tell people, and I say it all the time, hey, if you own something and love somebody, you have a plan, and that's an estate plan. You want to make sure you have some sort of trust funding coach, because basically you have an attorney who's going to help you put together the trust properly. And you want to have an attorney do that. You don't want to go to some website, okay? You don't want to have it done right. And then you want to have a trust funding coach. That could be your financial advisor. It could be somebody who specializes in making sure a trust is properly funded. You're going to want to make sure your trust is notarized. It's just very important that you have those documents done properly. Hey, again, I want to thank you all for joining us today. And I appreciate you letting your friends, family, and associates know about the show. All replays are available at www.savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying the stories of helpful information and insight on Saving with Steve, then I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel so you never miss a show. Check out a few of our affiliates at UK Health Radio in London, England, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, E360 TV, and Las Vegas TV Networks. All these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirits, and live a life of financial and personal freedom. Also, if you'd like to join us at the Saving with Steve Sexton Facebook, you can just go to savingwithsteve.us and you get all your replays, access to our guest gifts, and more. So, you know what? In this middle segment, I wanted to talk to you about what some of the viewers have and listeners have been discussing with me. And basically, they're concerned we have a new administration, we've got things changing, we got a tax code that's going to be sunsetting. They're worried about a lot of stuff, but most importantly, they're worried about the risk and the volatility that could be coming in the marketplace. And you know what? It's interesting. Sometimes I converse back and forth with people that, you know, go to viewers at savingwithsteve.us and say, hey, could you do something like this? I have a question about that. Hey, go to viewers at savingwithsteve.us and we'll either get an expert on to answer your question, or we'll see if we can answer it on the share myself. So the first one is people are worried about, geez, how, you know what, I would love to have that perfect investment that has good growth, income, it's liquid, has tax advantages, and it's low risk. Well, you know, if you think about that, you know, it doesn't exist. But what does exist is the ability for you to control your assets by diversifying them. So let's talk about each one of those things. For example, you have stocks. Hey, you can get some good growth. You can get income through dividends. It's liquid because once you sell it, it's yours. You have some tax advantages because you're paying capital gains, but it's not low risk. Okay, you have high risk with stock. Then we have bonds. Bonds are not growth vehicles. Okay, you lend somebody your money and they pay an income. So they have good income. Okay, they have liquidity. Okay, because you can sell them. You have tax. You don't really have any tax advantages because you're paying interest income unless it's a municipal bond. And then you have low risk, but you also have other types of risks, such as interest rate risk. You have default risk if that community or municipality isn't able to pay the bond, they can default it. Then you have real estate. Hey, you can get some good income. You can get some growth. You don't have any liquidity. You have some tax advantages through the depreciation, but you don't have low risk. And then you have annuities. People get some decent growth out of annuities. They can get some income. It's not really liquid. There is some tax advantages because you're deferring that growth. And it's low risk, which a lot of people like. Then you have CDs. Now, CDs, you don't really get much growth when the interest average, you know, the top interest rate for a one-year CD is only like 1%, okay? You don't get much income out of it. It's not liquid because you can't take it out for a whole year without a penalty. There's no real tax advantages because you're paying interest tax at interest income rates, and it's low risk. Now, don't get me wrong, it's a great place for short-term money, but when you factor in taxes and inflation, you're really not earning very much. But when you take a look at all those and you say, hey, how can I reduce risk? It's through a diversified portfolio that takes into account different asset classes, market sectors, and so on. Now, you know, what I like to look at this is, hey, if I were to diversify, and I'm just going to use this red, blue, green, red's Wall Street, blue is predictable income investments, and green is things that are safe, like banks, CDs, and annuities, okay? And if you had $1 million in the market and the market went down 30%, you would have to gain 43% to break even. Now, if you're retired, that puts a lot of pressure because you still have to have an income. If you're not retired and you got 20, 30 years to go, hey, don't worry about it because you're going to accumulate assets. You're just going to buy things cheaper because you're still investing in the market. Now, if you're in a situation where you are retired and you're concerned about the volatility in the market, consider this red, blue, green. Like, how much do you want in red, which is Wall Street? How much do you want in blue, which is predictable income that's not correlated to Wall Street? So if Wall Street goes down, hey, you don't really lose much or anything at all. And then you have the protected portion, which is in the green, which would be like those bank, you know, CDs, savings accounts, protected things like annuities and stuff like that. So let's think about it. If I had $1 million in the market or $1 million invested, 40% was in the market, 30% was in predictable income or predictable income investments that are not correlated to market, and 30% was in things like index annuities, bonds, CDs and so on. If the market dropped by 30%, you would lose 12% in total because you only have 40% at risk in the market. The predictable income would still receive, if it's getting 5 or 6% income, you're still receiving that. And then the worst thing that happened in the potential protected area is you're either earning the fixed interest or you didn't learn anything and didn't earn anything. So if you think about that, hey, you know what? I lost 12% minus 2 or 3% from the predictable income, so I lost 9. How long does it take me to recover from a 9% loss if I were to take money out of the predictable income and the protected portion and put it in the market while the market's going back up? Quite frankly, you could probably be even just with the 11 or 12% growth rate. Now, that being the case, it might be a more suitable way or one way to diversify your assets to reduce the risk moving forward. So look at your portfolio, talk about it with your advisors, and think about, hey, how can I reduce and eliminate some risk? How can I put something that's, you know, hey, I've got big risk there, which is the market, predictable income that's not correlated to the market, and protected assets that get me a growth rate that enable me to get the return I'm looking for when I retire. So that's how diversification works. Now, the next segment I want to talk about is the recent Fed warning. Okay. And you know what? It came from the FBI, the Department of Human and Health Services, and the Center for Medicare and Medicaid. And they're basically talking about the scams that have come out because of the COVID vaccination. Now, the scams are advertisements or offers for early access to vaccine upon a payment or a fee, a request to pay out of pocket to obtain a vaccine or put your name on a waiting list, an offer to undergo medical testing or procedures when obtaining a vaccine, and then marketers are offering to sell and or ship doses of vaccine domestically or internationally in exchange for a payment of deposit, okay? You know what? People are getting unsolicited emails, telephone calls, or personal contact from somebody claiming that they're with their medical office, their insurance company, or the COVID-19 vaccine center requesting personal or medical information to determine somebody's eligibility to participate in or to obtain a vaccine. Okay, some are even claiming that they have the FDA approval for vaccine that can't be validated. There's advertisements for vaccines through social media platforms, email, telephone calls, online from unsolicited unknown sources. And if you think you've been a victim or you found out about some sort of scam, you want to call 1-800-CALL-FBI or 1-800-HHS-TIPS. That's 1-800-HHS-TIPS or 1-800-FBI. Now, again, we've got a wonderful segment coming up. The reason why this prompted this in our viewers, they wanted to hear Aron Sinai, the CEO of ID Seal. I mean, they're all about identity theft protection. Stick with us. We'll be right back for some wonderful segments.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, I want to welcome you back to the show. This is Steve Sexton, your host of Saving with Steve. Again, we talk about everything under the sun that relates to money to make sure you have a happier, healthier relationship with money. Now, in the previous segment, talked about the federal warning for scams or fraudulent scams related to COVID-19 vaccination. Again, you want to please check the emails. You know, this even happens with emails that people are trying to scam people about their taxes, which is coming up, where they're going to send you an email. It'll look like it comes from the IRS, but it's supposed to say irs.gov, not irs.usa or something like that. So you want to make sure it's correct. You also want to make sure that you don't open up attachments that you don't know who they came from. You want to check the spelling of Wells Fargo, because it might be one letter off and you don't watch that. And the next thing you know, you're signing in and you're giving up your passwords and all that. You want to make sure that you have your anti-malware, antivirus is consistently scanning your computer for these things so you don't have it happen to you. Now, next we have Aron Sinai, okay? He's dedicated the last 25 years to safeguarding people and their reputations. He oversees IDSEAL. They're based in North Carolina. They provide exceptional, affordable identity protection solutions through cutting-edge technologies. They're all focused on the customer, that's you. Without further ado, I want to welcome Aron Sinai. Aron, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Steve. Thanks for having me and good to see you again. It's been a while, but you haven't changed and good to see you.
Well, I always like to know I haven't changed, although, you know, my hair jumps out of my head and it's just the way it rolls.
Well, it's better than mine. It doesn't come out at all. So, hey, you know.
I'm getting there. You know what? One of the things that a lot of people don't know about you is you've spent the last 25 years dedicating your life to protecting people and their reputation. And I think that's one of those things where, you know, somebody's got a lot of experience in this world. I'm very thankful that you're on the show. And you know what? How did you really get started in the identity protection business?
Well, thanks for the question. You know, I've always been fascinated, and part of my work, previous work with the government, et cetera, that always led me to the arena of identity theft, of cybersecurity, and the field that we're in now. Personally, how the company started back when I started in 2011, Well, 2009, between 9 and 11, when not too many people knew what it is about, I went through the experience myself. At the time, I went through a surgery, and back at the time, in 2008, I went through a kidney transplant. And my wife at the time was my donor, right? Now, when we, a year later, came to buy her a car, we found out that they couldn't pull her credit. They couldn't pull her credit, and we were wondering what was going on, and come to find out that she was declared deceased. In other words, when apparently she was in the hospital, someone at the hospital or somewhere, we don't know where, obviously, stole her medical identity. And what they've done, they've used it for billing, for medications, for doctor visits. And once they got the copayment, they submitted back the bill saying deceased. So what we had to do at the time, we had to go back to Social Security and get her back to life. We got a letter from Social Security that says it's literally called alive and well, in which we're able to bring her back to life, to reinstate her with the Bureau, with Social Security, to clean the collection and everything, collections account that were on her credit for lack of payment until she was supposedly deceased. Mm-hmm. And what we went through, even though I knew what I was doing at the time, what we went through through. I don't wish on anyone, you know, the pressure, the aggravation, the feeling. Imagine you're going to buy a car and you're going to open a bank account and you're going to your bank and they look at you that and saying, well, you don't really exist. So yeah, so that was quite a thing. So ever since then, I've been determined and I said, you know, I'm going to create something that someone does not ever have to go through what I went through and help them not only protect themselves going forward, but if something does happen, I want to make sure that they have all the support they need to resolve it as quickly as you know, with the least amount of pain as efficiently as possible. And here we are 10 years later.
I think that's wonderful. And, you know, I'm glad your wife's alive too.
Yeah.
You know what? So let's start with understanding what identity theft is. So could you take us through that?
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, identity theft apparently goes back many, many years ago. And people don't know, but if you look even at the biblical time, if you remember the story about Jacob and Esau, right? When Jacob came to his father, Isaac, and pretend to be his older brother and wore lambskin on his hand because his brother was hairier than him. And he went to his father pretending he was the brother so he can get the inheritance from his father, thinking he was the older son because the father was blind. So that was the first case of identity theft when we're looking at the biblical time, you know. But basically what it is someone using your identity to either perform a crime, to steal money, to pretend that they are you, to get benefits. And there are a few types of identity theft. Obviously, there's medical identity theft, there's criminal identity theft, and there is credit identity theft or financial identity theft. So we can talk a little bit more about what that means and how to help yourself.
Well, let's talk about how common it is, because you know what, I hear stories more than I'd like. And you know, since I'm in the financial field, I have clients get affected by it the whole shot. So how common is it?
Very, very. In other words, so common that one out of every three people have experienced identity theft.
Oh.
So it is very common. And let's even take, I'll give you examples that are numbers that are astounding. So if you look, for example, at tax returns, right? Tax returns are a big thing. Obviously, people stealing tax returns, and the IRS had stopped millions and millions over, I believe it was over 20 million of tax returns were stopped because they were fraudulent. And it cost over $5 billion of money that was sent to the wrong people that taxes were filed in their name. And we'll take an example. If you remember, that was a while back, but in 2015 even, Intuit, you know, a company that behind TurboTax, they really had to shut down their e-filing completely because the fraud is picked up so much in so many states. They didn't want to take a chance anymore. So, you know, if you're talking about number, now, if we talk about medical identity theft, right? Medical identity theft is on the rise constantly. And the numbers are just staggering as to the amount of people that have no idea that someone is using their insurance. Literally, somebody's using their insurance pretending they're them. And that could be life. There could be life consequences. If I look personally, I have had a kidney transplant, right? And I'm on certain medications. So if someone had stolen my medical identity, perform a medical identity theft, it could go into my file. My prescriptions can be changed. Mm-hmm. If I have any allergies, that can be changed. Blood type can be changed. That could cost someone's life. So I think we need to understand that we can't just take it lightly. It is very serious and it can happen. And it's really not a question of if, but a question of when it's going to happen.
Yes. One of the things I was listening to Frank Abagnale, who works at the FBI, at a conference, and he had talked about how on the dark web, it's more expensive to buy a newborn's information because they can have the identity longer and make more money off it because nobody's really going to pay attention until they're 18 years old. And he just said, he goes, you know what? A lot of times people could be posting things like birth dates, where they were born, and a small little baby picture. And you know what? They have a whole identity there because that's almost all they need. Is that right?
Absolutely. And more than that, look, beside the fact that identity theft, kids' identity theft is on the rise. And like you said, it's a really difficult situation. because as a kid, you don't check your credit on a regular basis. You don't really know what's going on your credit until you go to supposedly apply for student loans, right? Mm-hmm. So parents are really left holding the bag when the kid is 18 and now they see that the kid has already owned and had many credit cards and they have no idea where it's coming from. But the situation is that when you go on vacation, when you go and you post, what do we do today? We live on Facebook. Facebook has billions of users, right? And if you look at that, you go on vacation and you post a picture of Steve with his wife and the dog's name is Brownie, and you're on a vacation and with the kids and celebrating your kid's birthday. So if I'm a hacker, so here's what I got now. I got Steve, I got your name, I got Steve's wife, and I got Steve's mom because she was on vacation, or Steve's mom was on vacation, and now I know Steve's mom's last name, and I know Steve Maiden's name, and now I know Steve's favorite dog, and I know Steve's favorite vacation, and his son's birthday because they were celebrating the birthday, and now I create a synthetic identity, and voila, I'm a new Steve now, and I can go and do whatever I want if I'm able to.
Why don't we take a short break right here? I just want to take a moment and say, hey, I want to truly thank you for tuning in, and I appreciate letting your friends and family know and associates know about the show. All the replays are available here on www.savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying the stories, the helpful information and insights in Saving with Steve, I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube page. I want to spend a special thanks out to our networks, UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio, New York City, E360 TV and Las Vegas TV, as well as AM/FM 247 Radio, as well as all the stations across the states that carry our show. I want to thank you all and allow us to, you know, if you'd like to become part of our Facebook page, our Insiders Club, just go to savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. And we're going to take a quick break right now and be right back.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hello, welcome back. We have Aran Sinai, who is the CEO of ID Seal. He's in charge of an identity theft protection company. He's been providing us some wonderful information and, you know, how identity theft is, how did it affect you, how people can do this. And, you know, what we want to talk about, you know what, how people can protect themselves. What do they need to look for in identity theft protection? And Ron, hey, thank you for being with us today.
Great. Thank you for having me again and good to be back. So, you know, to sum it up, and then I'll get a little bit more into details, but to sum it up, I call it the three M's, right? Okay. The three M's: minimize, monitor, and manage. Okay. So, and we'll get into each one of those when we talk about what to look for when you're looking for an identity theft protection, right? But to start, there are a few tips I'd like to give people, and hopefully that will help, especially with the holiday season. Look, we're living in a world that we've never been used to before with COVID-19 and how we're living our lives now. Most everyone is working from home now. Being that we are working from home, we become much more vulnerable. And we're using, a lot of people using personal computer. And even if they use work computers, they don't necessarily log into the work network, mm-hmm. right? So they're not as protected as they would be with, if they've been in the office. Add to the fact that you're done working on your computer, maybe your kids jump on your computer, maybe you leave it open, and hackers know that. So just because they say, what are they going to steal from me? It's not that. They work in a system of digging, right? It's called a dig. They fish for a lot of information and they sort through it. And your information can be part of the information they steal, regardless when you have something to steal or not, right? So most common way and most common method of, which proves to be the number one way of people, how they get to information is phishing. So phishing meaning they send you emails, you get emails that they look like the email from someone you know, and they even experts are saying that sometimes it's very, very difficult to distinguish between a real email or a fake email. And what people do, press a link. As soon as you send a link, there's malware on your computer. They got in your computer and they got everything you got on that computer. So very important, number one, be very vigilant and look at emails you get. If you're not sure, you get some links, be very careful who it's coming from. And even people said hover over the from and see where it's coming from. That's great, but if someone hacked into your email, they'll send me email from your email and I'll think it's you, right? So if you're not sure, make a phone call. Call and, hey, Steve, did you send me a link just now? I just want to make sure before I download that link. You'll be amazed at how many people don't even know the email has been hacked, right? So this is really tip number one. Be very vigilant and careful about emails you get and links you press. Number two.
Can I add one thing to that?
Absolutely.
On Monday of this week, one of my peers in my industry, the financial consulting industry, all of his clients were sent a link to fill out their financial information to have an assessment before year's end. He never sent it. His email got hacked. And there was three people who opened it up and filled it out. So what he's doing is he's paying for identity theft protection for them. But I mean, they thought it was exactly his because I went over to his office and saw the email and he said, yeah, look at this. It looks exactly like me.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's the scary part that, you know, today hackers don't only target big companies. They also target smaller businesses, individual like smaller financial planners, attorneys, doctors. There's a lot of information you can get from there stealing information from those individuals. So it's very, very important. The damage could be huge, right? Mm-hmm. Check your bank account and credit card statements on a regular basis. You know, that's how it starts. You may have a dollar charge in your bank or a dollar on your credit card. Set alerts on your credit cards. Okay, set alerts and always set two-step authentication for every login you do.
Right? Help two-step people understand what two-step authentication is.
Okay, so when you log into your bank account, you can go into the setting and ask for two-step authentication. What that means is if at any given time you will log into your bank account, you will have to then receive a text from the bank with a security code. And only with that security code that will come to your personal cell phone, you'll be able then to complete your login to your account. And that you should do that with your emails, you should do that with your social media account, you should definitely do that with all your financial accounts to be on the safe side.
I want to add something to everybody who's listening. If you're getting your tax return here, you know what, tax season's coming up.
Yeah.
This would be a perfect time to make sure you have two-step authentication when you send information to your CPA. I would recommend doing it through a Google Drive or a protected drive of some sort, or mailing it as opposed to emailing it in attachments. And if they're sending you the your tax return, make sure it's password protected with that two-step authentication, because I already know of one CPA firm that got hacked and they're spending a lot of money trying to protect themselves from clients that have had their identity stolen.
Right. And also, I may want to add to that when you do file your taxes, try to file it as soon as you can. That leaves a very short and small windows to hacker to file it in your name. Because what hackers do, they wait for when they know you get your W-4, W-2s, 1099s, and all that information, and then immediately they'll try to file taxes in your name. So as soon as you get your information, be prompt in filing your taxes. That will reduce the risk of someone filing in your name. Okay? When it comes to medical identity theft, I know it's not easy, but check your monthly statement on a regular basis. The only way you can know, if you don't have any protection and you don't know what's going on, the only way to know is looking at your insurance statements. If someone is using your medical card, you will see see the charges on your medical statement. So check
those
your insurance statement.
A medical statement's called the explanation of benefits. It's EOB. You'll start receiving those in the mail usually sometimes around 30 days after some sort of an appointment. If you start receiving those, very important to check that out.
Absolutely. Yes, it is. And look, when you go on a public Wi-Fi, try to use a VPN, a virtual private network. Try to use a VPN because your public Wi-Fi you're using may not be safe. As long as you're in a place with it, when there is Wi-Fi, use a virtual private network, which is a VPN that can help you not only surf maybe faster, but surf in a secure manner where your information can be protected and people cannot get into your phone.
I have a question. What about the hotspots?
Again, hotspot is coming directly from your phone, right? You're using your phone.
Yeah.
So if your phone has, if you're working with a VPN, then it's fine. But
okay.
If you're using any hotspot that is not secure, it's the same as using a Starbucks or any other public Wi-Fi.
Okay, I just want to make sure people are clear because I want to make sure they understand the difference.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, and when it comes to identity theft protection, look, I may be not the right person to ask, although I have the knowledge because I'll recommend IDSEAL, right? Because but here are things that you can look at, right? What we care about is your credit. Obviously, you want to make sure you check your credit on a regular basis. Think about it, for example, as a holiday gift or something to your kids. When you protect your kids and when they're 18, how beautiful would that be to get a copy of the credit report when they're 18 and to make sure to see that it's clean, right? So you want to make sure you get monitoring. You want to make sure you have the ability to examine your credit report for any changes that are happening. Yes, I know you get alerts, but sometimes you do want to look to see, to examine your credit. You want to make sure that your protection is including dark web protection for your emails, for your passport, for your driving license, that you have elements of change of address notification. If somebody's trying to change your address, that's how identity theft starts. It's a very big thing, right? Mm-hmm. You want to make sure you have court record monitoring. Parents want to make sure that the kid's social security is protected. And if any changes in tracking and tracing the social security theirs and their kid's social security, those are very important factors. You want to make sure that the coverage includes recovery and not just arbitration of sort. And you want to make sure that obviously part of the insurance you get, and for example, I know we offer a 24/7 lost wallet protection. So if you were to travel and you lost your wallet, you will call one number 24/7. They'll help you replace everything you had in your wallet and stop all the cards that you've lost. So you don't have to start calling different credit cards and different companies. And we'll also guarantee that, for example, if you had cash in your wallet, through the insurance may decide that if you had that cash in your wallet, you'll get up to $500 cash reimbursement, for example. So there are things that you really want to make sure that you understand what you get. And a lot of companies try to confuse you with a lot of fancy names. Spend a little time and remember, look, when someone's going to try to break into your house, they're going to break into your house if they really want to, right? Mm-hmm. But if you have an alarm system, they'll think twice about it and they'll go to the neighbor. Same thing with identity theft protection, right? Can you prevent identity theft? No, you cannot. It's impossible to prevent identity theft. But can you minimize the damage? Can you monitor what you have? And if something happened, can you manage it properly? Yes, you can. And that's really what we're trying to do. So to protect you enough, to make it difficult enough, and coming up early next year, the beginning of the year, we're adding some incredible one-of-a-kind elements that will protect your personal privacy and your devices, including VPN and a lot of other features. And you want to make sure that you get all those included in your coverage.
Ron, I want to thank you for joining us today. How do people go? It's just idseal.com. Is that where
Absolutely.
People go?
Yep, idseal.com. And it's the great time to sign in, great sign up, great time to give that as a present for the holiday. And I think that if you do join now, when we launch the new product that's called IDSEAL Protect, it's one of a kind revolutionary product, and you'll just get that along when you join.
Ron, I want to thank you for joining us, and I'll look forward to talking to you.
Absolutely, Steve. Same here.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye, Steve.
I want to truly thank everybody for tuning in. I appreciate you letting your friends, family, and associates know about the show. As always, the replays are available at savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying the stories and helpful information and insight on Saving with Steve, I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube page so you can never miss a show. Check out a few of our affiliates. And all these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirits, and live a life of financial and personal freedom. Also, follow us on Facebook. Join the Saving with Steve Insiders Club at savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. And get all our replays and exclusive access to our after-the-show videos and take your life to the next level. Thanks for joining us. Remember, smart financial decisions do impact the quality of your life. This is Steve Sexton and the Saving with Steve Show.
Thank you for joining us for the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. To learn more about the show and how to become a guest or sponsor, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Join us again next time as we continue to talk about everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happier relationship with money. This has been the Save with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton.